Now, if you turn in God's Word to the first scripture reading that we had this evening, I want to say a little bit about some of the things that we have here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it was the first 11 verses of this chapter that we read together. On Tuesday evening of last week, I picked Michael Kennedy up from his house about 20 to 9 to go to Robert and Jean's for the Corky Midweek Fellowship group. And afterwards then, I was leaving Michael back home, and we were talking about things that were coming up over the next few days. And we were talking about Peter Dundee's ordination and installation in Clare, which was on Thursday night. Michael would have liked to have been able to go to that because he had been at the earlier significant meetings that Peter had, but he knew he wasn't going to be able to go on Thursday night. He was also looking forward to Friday night, and there was something he would like to have been at on Friday night, and that was the Christian Institute meeting at the Lodge Hotel. He would like to have gone to that, but he wasn't going to go to it, because he was going to be at Senior CY instead. And he was talking about the how things had gone in Ballycastle High School with the Scripture Union events, and he was talking about how Lewis had given her testimony on Tuesday, and the ones that were there at that meeting that weren't normally there. And I was looking forward to Friday night at the CY, because I knew that Claire was going to be coming, and she was going to be doing a craft with the young folk, and it was going to be making little Christmas decorations out of clay. And I was wondering how Michael was going to be able to handle that with his big fingers, and how they would ever work with those tiny wee things for cutting the clay and so on. But I never got to see that happening on Friday night. Michael didn't know, as we chatted on Tuesday evening, what was going to happen to him on Thursday afternoon. And he didn't know that even at this time now, he would be lying in the hospital, the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. He didn't know the trouble that lay just around the corner for him. But God knew the trouble that was to come. And in these verses that we read at the start of 2 Corinthians, it's all about trouble. The Apostle Paul was having trouble in the place from which he was writing this letter. He was in Ephesus, and he was experiencing trouble in Ephesus. And there were men in the city of Corinth who were causing him trouble, because they were criticizing him. And they were arguing that he wasn't the kind of man that they should be looking up to and whose leadership they should be following. They were arguing that he was too weak. They were arguing that these constant troubles that the Apostle Paul experienced, that these things really denied his claim to be an apostle at all. And they were ashamed of his weakness. They were ashamed of his troubles. They were ashamed of the kind of life that he was leading. But Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, he tells them quite plainly that he is not ashamed of his weakness. And he does not seek to portray a false image of himself as being a man who is invincible, a man for whom nothing causes him any difficulties at all. He doesn't present himself as a man free from weakness, a man free from troubles. And in these opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he has some important reminders for us about God's intentions in the troubles that come upon his people. Paul the Apostle had many troubles. That was God's plan for him. And Those who follow Christ will have troubles, and God has good intentions in all of that. There are four things that I want to mention that are found here in these verses. What use are our troubles? Well, first of all, they help us to help others. The troubles that are sent into our lives are sent with a view to us helping others in their troubles. That's what Paul is saying in verse 4. He speaks about God. He calls him the God of all comfort at the end of verse 3. And he says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And how will we do that? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so he's reminding us here that it is in the midst of our troubles that we receive the comfort of God himself. And having received God's comfort, we can then pass that comfort on to others who have their own troubles, maybe the same troubles as we have had ourselves. Now, God is a God who is well able to comfort his people. Often you will find that God will comfort you through his word. There will be things that you will read in the scriptures, and God will have so arranged it that you'll read them just at the right time. Just when you need something to get you through, God will comfort you with his words there in the scriptures. But sometimes it's other people that God uses to bring those words from the scriptures to our attention. And God is able to use us to bring the things in his word that have helped us. He can use us to be those who pass on that help and comfort to others in their needs and in their troubles. That's God. That's part of God's good intention in the troubles that Christians face. Our troubles help us to help others. Was there a time in your life when you were particularly conscious of receiving God's comfort, God's strengthening, God's help? Well, if that is the case, well, when someone else is in a similar kind of situation, well, then you're the very person that God has equipped and qualified to pass on that comfort. The things that you know help you, well, why would those things not be the very things that would help someone else in the same situation? The best qualification for giving help to someone is having yourself received help. And so if you've been through a time of illness, if you've lost someone who was particularly close to you and important in your life, if you've had to go through difficult and testing family or work circumstances, if you've been through a time of depression, if you've had any of these kind of things, and God has comforted you in the midst of those things, well then, when he was doing that, he wasn't just thinking that that was just for you. That comfort was given to you so that you could seek to pass that on to others. And whatever it was that really helped you, well, God wants you to offer that out to see if this might be the very thing that would help someone else as well. So if you have known God's comfort, then God has been equipping you to be the comforter for someone else. Our troubles help us to help others. And it can be all sorts of ways in which that is the case. Maybe the disappointments of life. It may be those times of waiting and you just don't know when the relief is going to come or if it's going to come at all. All sorts of things. And if God has really helped you and comforted you, then he has done it so that you can comfort others. So that's the first thing about our troubles. They help us to help others. They connect us with other people. A second line of thought here in terms of the value of our troubles is that they connect us with Christ's experience. Paul reminds us here that our troubles, our sufferings, come to us because we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." NIV says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." The Lord Jesus taught and trained his disciples, his followers, as to what they were to expect. And he told them that if he was persecuted and if he was hated, well, they would be too. If they follow him, they will receive the same treatment. The disciples of Christ will also be hated and they will be persecuted. And that's because they're following the Lord himself. And so it's good to remember that what Paul has in mind, particularly in these verses, is not sort of troubles in general, but he's thinking in particular about the troubles that come to us because we're followers of Jesus Christ. When we suffer because we're seeking to be loyal to Jesus, that's when we'll experience the comfort of God. We can have troubles that are self-inflicted, and that's a different kind of thing. God will be with us in the midst of those times. But in particular, the Lord comforts us when we are suffering because of Jesus Christ. When people exclude you from their little circle, when they exclude you from their company and their conversation because they know what you are, they know your faith. When you know that people are speaking about you and you know that they're not saying complimentary things about you, they're doing those things because they know who your master is. And they don't like the challenge that your life poses to them. And so they react against you because of your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people experience troubles because of our connection to the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Peter writes a lot about this in 1 Peter. We read some verses from 1 Peter chapter 4 where he talks about how Christians will suffer because Christ himself suffered. And last Lord's Day at our communion time, I'd read some verses in 1 Peter chapter 2. And there in verses 20 and 21, Peter says, "If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Jesus suffered for doing good. Jesus had many troubles, not because he was disobeying God, but because he was pleasing God at every turn. And as Christians, we have been called to a life of troubles and a life of suffering for doing good. And therefore, Peter says, don't let this surprise you. This is what you should expect. For the Lord Jesus, the route to glory And the route back home was one that was paved with suffering. And if we want to share in that glory of his, we should expect that, first of all, we will share in his sufferings. Those who in today's world preach Christianity and preach Christ as something that means the end to all sufferings, those people who preach that message, that turn to Jesus and all your troubles will come to an end, that's exactly the thing that Paul was arguing against. That's what he was denying is the truth. Paul believed that if you follow Jesus Christ, you will suffer for doing good. He sought to follow Jesus Christ, and he suffered for doing good. And so our troubles connect us with Christ himself. And that is a good thing. It's good when we sense that this is how they treated my Lord. So our troubles help us to connect to other people who are in trouble. They help us to connect with Christ in his troubles. And then the third thing is that they help us, ourselves. It's not just other people that benefit from our troubles. We ourselves benefit from our God-appointed troubles. We'll sing later in Psalm 119 from verse 71, where the writer says, "It was good for me to be afflicted. It was good." And he testifies that through that, he learnt more fully the decrees of God. And the Apostle Paul testifies to the benefits that he received through the severe hardships that he had to endure. Look at the kind of things he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves." But he says, this was that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And Paul talks there about a very distressing time that he had faced. He had been in a situation where he just could not see the way out of that situation. And yet, he had put his trust in God. Didn't trust in himself, he says, but he put his trust in God who raises the dead. And it felt as if that's what God was going to have to do. Paul couldn't see how he could survive this. It was a bit like Abraham offering up Isaac, and he just had to believe, well, God can raise him from the dead. If I have to sacrifice him, well, God can raise him. And Paul believed that God could raise him in the midst of these lethal troubles that he was experiencing. And he felt that's the way it had been. It's as if God has raised me from the dead. He's brought me through these things. And so he found what a blessing it was to have gone through such a thing as that. He was brought to a sense of complete helplessness. Paul didn't have the answer to Paul's troubles. He was brought to despair, self-despair. And self-despair is the foundation upon which God builds. Self-despair is the rock upon which the wise man builds his house. Self-confidence is the sand on which the foolish man builds his house. And God will not build us up until everything in which we are relying on ourselves is carried away. He doesn't want us boasting in ourselves, but in Him. We don't get into God's kingdom on the back of our own merits, because we don't have any merits of our own. But once we're in the kingdom of God, we need to keep on remembering to not rely on ourselves. We didn't get there in the first place ourselves, and in the ongoing experience of Christian life, it's not ourselves that we're to rely on, but it is the Lord. And Paul himself was determined that, having been brought through these great troubles, that he would keep on relying on God. And that's what he's saying in verse 10. He's referring to God who delivered us. That's something that he has done in the past. He has delivered us from so great a death. And he says, and he does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He's done it in the past, he's doing it now, and he will do it in the future. That was Paul's confidence. God was strengthening his faith by delivering him in the midst of his troubles. And that was God's way. But the opponents in Corinth that were arguing, look, come over and be followers of us rather than followers of this man. Look at this man. Everything he touches, it seems to go wrong one way or another. He has problems wherever he goes. He's a weak man. And they would have been greatly embarrassed if they had the troubles that Paul had. They felt that if you were to be credible as a leader of God's people, well, then there mustn't be any weakness in you. You must raise yourself above any kind of trouble and not be seen as a person that trouble sticks to. Well, Paul knew differently, and he believed something quite different. In 2 Corinthians 10, 12, verse 10, he says, I've written down the wrong reference there. Paul writes, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so when he reflected upon his weakness, when he reflected upon his troubles, he didn't see that as being a bad thing. He saw that as being a thing that God had used to make him stronger. God's kind of stronger, not the human estimation of stronger. So our troubles help us to help others. They help us to connect to Christ, and they help us ourselves. And then the fourth thing I want to mention, which is connected to the third one, but I want to mention it in particular, is that our troubles teach us to pray. There's nothing like a bit of trouble to get you praying. Isn't that the case? There's nothing like a bit of trouble looming, nothing like a sense that this is beyond me. This is more than I can cope with. That's the kind of thing that brings us to be people of prayer. And it's interesting here to see the value that Paul, the apostle, places upon the prayers of these Corinthian believers. He is looking for their prayers. He desires that they would be busy praying for him. He can testify that he has had a great experience of God's deliverance. He has the hope that God will continue to deliver him in the future, that his ministry will continue. But he doesn't say, you don't need to pray for me anymore. God has it all in hand, and everything will just be fine. He doesn't set himself up as one who doesn't need the prayers of ordinary people. He doesn't say that because he is now deliberately relying upon God, that therefore he doesn't need anyone else's help. It's all just between me and God, and he will look after me, and nobody else needs to concern themselves about me. Rather, he says in verse 11, he testifies saying at the end of verse 10, he says, he will still deliver us. And then he says, you also helping together in prayer for us. NIV says, he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. And that's a little phrase that every prayer letter that comes from Nantes has that little statement from Scripture about God's people helping each other by their prayers. And our missionaries in Nantes believe that it's worthwhile sending out their prayer requests to all the congregations of the church. They believe that if people are praying for them, it makes a difference. And Paul believed that. He believed that he needed the prayers of God's people. And there's no one in any church throughout the world tonight who doesn't need the prayers of God's people. There never will be anyone who doesn't need the prayers of God's people. There is no one who is so spiritually mature that they will always know what to do, that they will always be able to do what they should do. There's no one that you don't need to pray for within the church of Jesus Christ. And Paul coveted the prayers of the believers in the churches that he wrote to. And those prayers were so important to him. And he, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, was conscious of the difference that the prayers of God's people made. And if he needed prayers, how much more do we lesser mortals need the prayers of other people? So our troubles are things that help us to see our need of prayer. And they teach us to be people of prayer. And so if we are faithful in following Jesus Christ, we will suffer and we will have troubles. We will suffer because we're following the one who suffered. But we will benefit from those troubles. They will strengthen our own faith. They will enable us to strengthen the faith of others. They will bring from us prayers for our fellow believers, and they will be praying for us. And through reinforcing our connection with Christ, they will bring to us the comfort of Christ himself. The God of all comfort will comfort us in our troubles through Christ. It is much better to go through our lives accompanied by the comfort of Christ than to go through suffering in the life to come where there is no comfort at all. So Paul is not ashamed of his troubles. He doesn't say that if only I didn't have these troubles, I could do so much more as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. It is far better to know the comfort of God in the midst of your trouble than to not know that trouble And that was the perspective that Paul consistently had. And he often compares the troubles that we have here in this short temporary life with the glories that are there forever and ever. Romans 8:18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." The glory to come is so much greater, it's beyond comparison. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, he says that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That's the NIV, New King James. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so the scriptures teach us in many ways that if we share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory. Paul knew that he shared in the sufferings of Christ, and he was convinced that he would also share in the glory of Christ. Amen. Well, let us